We are going to begin the hour, though, by checking in with Orange County's newest state house representative. Alan Boyntse was elected in the primary back in May last month. Immediately after that, this is the seat to replace Verla Insko, who's stepping down from the state house. Insko did make her resignation official at the end of May, and as the winner of the primary, Boyntse was appointed to take over the seat a couple of months early, and he's in there now. On his first week on the job, officially took the oath of office on June 1st, so getting into the first full week of office this week, and a lot on the State House's agenda to tackle, even in the short session this summer. Representative Boyntse joins us here now in the studio to share some thoughts about the first few days on the job. Thank you so much for being with us today. How are you?
Oh, absolutely. Good morning. Thank you for having me, Aaron, and it's been a whirlwind, but yeah. It's been productive.
So, yeah, what have your first thoughts been? It's been 6 days already. Does it feel like 6,000, 6 hours?
All of the above. So, as you said, I got sworn in on Wednesday, and we've had a couple of voting sessions. Last week, nothing really controversial, but even still, I've had to learn a lot. I've been getting to know fellow House Democrats as well as folks on the other side as well. All told, there's been a lot of information to absorb, but it's also good in a way, too, because I get to come in during a session, get to see how things are working, so that by the time I get to my first full term, I can really hit the ground running.
Any surprises so far? Anything you've experienced in the last few days? You're like, wow, I wish I'd known that going in.
Yeah. one surprise has been the amount of activity that's over at the Legislative Office Building during session, and not just from constituents, but you know, also from folks who are advocating for one cause or another. It's amazing just the amount of times that people drop by the office and want to talk for 15, 20 minutes. The sheer number of folks who do that, that's been a bit surprising, but it's been good too, because it's allowed me to have a chance to get to know different issues and issues that I didn't quite know about before. So it's good.
I know when you get elected on election day and you're getting ready to take the full term, you have the opportunity to work with the School of Government and get some kind of background training to get newly elected representatives ready to take that seat. Did you get that opportunity in the last couple of weeks, or is that still yet to come? Or
no, not from the School of Government.
Okay.
Now, at the legislature, certainly the chief clerk there provides their own orientation, and that has been extremely informative, really gotten me well acquainted with the rules, with how procedurally things work on the House floor. So that's been extremely helpful. I am looking forward to more opportunities to, you know, learn more. School government does a great job, not just with getting newly elected General Assembly members acquainted and comfortable, but they also do a good job with local electeds. Mm-hmm. That's been my previous experience with them. Getting that orientation from them, I look forward to that opportunity as well. But the legislature, the folks there, the staff, they've done a really great job of getting me transitioned, getting me comfortable as well.
Speaking with State House Representative Alan Boyntse, first full week on the job, but a lot is happening in the General Assembly. Even though it's the short session, just a few weeks in this session, presumably. You never know until the adjournment, but
that's, right.
that's the plan. But a lot of very high-profile bills that have been moving through the State House or State Senate and are now getting into the State House, thinking most notably the one that I think a lot of us in Chapel Hill, Carrboro, and around the state are following is HB 755, which is this so-called parents' rights bill that also has some pretty significant anti-LGBTQ provisions. Mm-hmm. That's passed the Senate. It's back in the House now.
Right.
Thoughts on this? What's the tenor of the conversation?
Right. So, one thing that was said at the outset of the session was that nothing controversial would be taken up, but lo and behold,
boom, right? Yeah.
Here we have HB 755. So, as you said, it's come now to the House and likely will face a floor vote this week for a concurrence vote. Certainly, I and other Democrats plan on voting against it. It's certainly not in line with my vision, with what I ran on, which is an inclusive and accessible community. And so it's expected that the governor will veto it if it does pass the House. And, you know, really for us, it's about sending the message that, of course, we support parents, of course, we support families and their children, but we want to make sure that we are focusing on the right things. We want to make sure that we're focusing on mental health resources for folks, for our children. Want to make sure that we're focusing on supporting our teachers and other school employees. It's really something that distracts away from what we actually need to do for our children, which is to have them be supported, feel welcomed, and like they can pursue whoever they are.
A couple of other bills that have passed the state Senate and kind of face longer odds of passing soon in the state House. There's one bill that would expand Medicaid, which obviously is a huge Democratic priority and has been for years. Another one, a little bit under the radar as a top priority, but still something a lot of folks are watching closely, one that would legalize medical marijuana in the state. Both of those are through the Senate. They're in the House now, but I know Speaker Moore is kind of pushed back on, are we going to take floor votes on this fairly quickly? What's your position on those bills, and if you're in favor of them, what can you do in the state House to kind of move that along?
Right. So to the first bill that you talked about, it's a medical omnibus bill, among other things, would include Medicaid expansion. And certainly that's something that I've supported for a long time, really long past time for North Carolina to expand Medicaid in order to ensure hundreds of thousands of more North Carolinians, especially North Carolinians out in rural areas. We also want to prevent the closure of any more rural hospitals, because, you know, a lot of folks need care, but folks don't necessarily have the closest places where they can go for care. Not to mention the jobs, tens of thousands of new jobs that it would create, especially in rural areas. All around, we've seen even the leader of the Senate come out and say the same kinds of things that Democrats have been saying a long time in support of Medicaid expansion. And so I'm hopeful that it'll come to the House for a floor vote. But as you said, the Speaker has indicated that this session doesn't see taking it up, which would be a shame. But I'm hopeful. Now, as to the other bill that you mentioned, this is SB 711 on legalization of medical marijuana. Again, that's another great thing that would be available for North Carolinians if we pass it. And again, as you said, House leadership has indicated that they don't want to take it up this session. And the public statement has been that it would be too controversial and that there's a lot to unpack about it. My view, and I know the views of other Democrats, has been we want to help people. And, you know, a lot of states have legalized medical marijuana. You know, there are a series of conditions that it would really help out people with, especially folks who have cancer, HIV, AIDS, epilepsy, post-traumatic stress disorder. The benefits clearly are there. And so, again, I'm hopeful that it can come to us on the floor for a vote, but we'll see.
Speaking with State House Representative Alan Bornsey, those are the kind of higher profile bills that are in the General Assembly right now. What else are you prioritizing in your first few days on the job? I know you've already co-sponsored some bills already.
I have, yes. So part of the first acts that I had, actually the same day that I was sworn in, include the Reproductive Freedom Act, HB 1119. Mm-hmm. Essentially, we have seen over the past month or so the very real threat that Roe v. Wade will be overturned. And so in response, we need to meet the moment and we need to make sure that we are protecting folks' reproductive rights. That means codifying Roe v. Wade. That means making sure that people's privacy is protected. The right to control over your own body, to make family decisions, that is at stake. And so this particular bill would codify that. Because if Roe v. Wade is overturned, there are 26 states that are poised to institute laws that would essentially eviscerate reproductive rights and rights to safe abortions. And so, I mean, there's broad support for Roe v. Wade, and really this is a matter of responding to the will of the people. As to another act that I was able to co-sponsor, or bill that I was able to co-sponsor, that is the North Carolina Working Families Act, HB 1136. This bill essentially captures the budget priorities of House Democrats. Among other things, it would include salary increases for public school teachers and other public workers. It would also increase behavioral health support staff in public schools. A lot of students have been having a hard time, and a lot of schools don't have the resources to meet their needs. And so our priorities are geared towards trying to meet that need. It would also reduce the innovations waiver wait list by increasing the number of slots by about 5,000. Would support clean energy initiatives, bike and pedestrian improvement funds, create the North Carolina Clean Energy Innovation and Research Fund. Really, in a nutshell, this budget is aimed at making sure that North Carolina is moving well into the 21st century, creating jobs, but also making sure that we are treating our workers well. And so I was proud to add my name to that as a co-sponsor.
Speaking with State Representative Alan Borns here, we got to wrap up. But as we do, totally unrelated to the General Assembly, you are the first current or former Chapel Hill town person to be on the air with us since Chris Blue announced his impending retirement yesterday afternoon. Thoughts about that?
Well, sad to hear the news. Mm-hmm. Chief Blue, I think, has been a great police chief for us. He's been one of the most forward-thinking police chiefs we've had in all of North Carolina. In my time on the Chapel Hill Town Council, really had the good fortune of working with him, especially in the aftermath of the killing of Mr. George Floyd. And I was just struck by his willingness to think outside the box and to, you know, really go with council direction, but at the same time explain to the people who have worked for him, you know, why we have to make these changes. And so and he's Chapel Hill bred too, which doesn't hurt. And so I'm saddened to hear the news, but at the same time I'm happy for him because he's doing this on his own terms, and I wish him all the best.
Again, State House Representative Alan Borns, thank you so much for being with us today. We look forward to talking with you in the future.
Thank you, Aaron. Appreciate it.